Good morning, everyone. It's so good to be with you guys again. And I know the eyes and the minds are going, what in the world is he doing today? And somebody's supposed to be bringing a watermelon up here in a moment. No, just kidding. We're not going to do that. But would that not be super cool? That would be so much fun. And if you're sitting in the front row, I know you're squirming and going, help me, God, please. Because this has got really scary real fast. Oh, I love that I can have fun with you guys, and we can just laugh together. That is really good. We're taking a little bit different approach today. We're going to kind of use a prop, and we're going to preach from the Word, but we're going to use the Word in the midst of a real-life illustration to hopefully help us grasp a concept that sometimes causes us some frustration and some just tension within us. And I have this that I'm so grateful that Mike and Lucas was able to work on in his grandson, I believe, right? Y'all's grandson, it's not just his. So anyways, to be fair, so to work on building this today, and we have three pieces to this illustration that's going to be, I think, great. And we've got a bucket of water here, and it's about half full today, but we are pretending that this is a bucket that never runs out over here, okay? And so then we also have this channel running down. That kind of, I love that, right? Because gravity is working with this. And then we have this tub right here that we're going to be collecting this water in. And I know you know how it works, but I want you to see that. And so get one of you guys that are strong and muscular with our fusion people over here just right now. Gavin was the first one to get up. Okay, come on, Gavin. Just a second. Y'all are good. I'm going to use the rest up here in a minute, but I'm going to use Mr. Universe here for right now. So I just want you to see, if you can just look right here, you kind of know what's coming. If your eyes can see over here, right, and just pour just a little bit, not a whole lot of ton of water. That's probably good right there. It's coming down. You see that water coming out, coming into the tub here, and we're catching that at the basin here, at the base of that. You can have a seat for right now. I'll call you up again, muscles, if I need you. But thanks, man. And I love this illustration. And I love these guys because all I have to do is ask them, and like, would you want to help me do this? And they're like, sure, let's do it. Like, where do you want to go? What are we doing? That's so awesome. You guys make my day, and you guys just don't know it. And so thank you for that. I love this illustration, and I think it's a great fitting illustration to think about the kingdom of God and the resources that God places into our lives, and especially when we think of our finances, because perhaps finances is one of the topics that maybe we struggle with the most when it comes to being a part of the church and the kingdom of God, and like, what do we do with that, and how do we look at that, and all that kind of stuff, and valid, and it doesn't get taught on a whole lot and causes folks to feel uncomfortable, but that's okay. Because the topic is real, the topic's in Scripture, and so if it's in the Scriptures, then what should we do? We just talk about it, and so let's talk about it, and we ought not be afraid of it. Let's just embrace it, because it's in the Word, so let's have some fun with it at the same time. Good, because that's what I thought we would do today. So the first thing I want to start with is this bucket up here that is full of water, and I want us to imagine, if you would, that this bucket right here, that's a little bit out of my reach, but it's good. This bucket right here represents all of the things that God has created and given to us, and that includes our finances. They're in this bucket. This is really God's bucket, okay? This is God's watering bucket, watering tin. In the Scriptures, in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11, there's a wonderful passage I want to read to you. It says, "Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor." Listen to this. "For everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all." And the psalmist got this, and the psalmist said this as God inspired him to say these words. The psalmist said, that coming from God, it says, "For every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hill." How many of you have farmed cattle at times? I know I have friends of mine here. I know do that, right? So we're not talking literal cattle here, what he's getting at. He's saying everything that is upon the earth that is at my hand, for I created it, it is mine. And I am Lord over it all. the cattle on a thousand hill, thousands representative. It's a number, it's complete. It's all God's. It all belongs to Him. It's come from Him. It's His. And He gives it to us to be a blessing to us, to sustain us, to help strengthen us. For those of you who may be vegetarians, it's okay. Nothing intended by that. But in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 8, I love God gives us the promise to His people, and it kind of fits beautifully with this. And I'm going to kind of lay this out, so just walk with me for a second here. God says this, through Moses, says, "The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land He is giving to you." God has intended that everything that He has given to you and given to me is to be for our benefit, is to be for our good. And ultimately, it is to be for His glory, that we would use it in a way that reflects how He gave it to us and the purpose that it's been given to us for. And so when you use it for its intended purpose, God says, "I want to bless you. When you honor me, I want to honor you. And those who dishonor me, I will deal with that. But I want you to be blessed in what I give you for your good." There's a tension with this that we know. And I know it because I have wrestled with this too. And I think the tension is that when we look at this bucket, for those of you that are guests with us today, I move around a little bit. And the thing about this bucket up here, which is really cool, is that we often can struggle to look at this bucket of all of God's resources, including our finances, and we confuse ownership of the bucket, thinking the bucket is ours. And then when we get stressed out of our finances, we are fretting and worrying about something that God never intended to give us to fret and worry over, because it says it was never yours in the first place. I created, I am Lord of heaven and earth. I gave it to you so that it would give you good life, sustain you, help you to grow, and to do the things in life that I want you to do for my glory. But we go, "But God, it's my bucket. I have worked for this bucket for the last 10 years. This is my bucket, and it's my water. And I will spend it how I want to spend it." And we carry it. Now, these guys are really strong, so it wouldn't be fair. But, if I asked you to hold this bucket for the next 30 minutes and don't put it down, how you going to feel? Well, Kelly would be great, because... But if I asked Alan, Alan, if I said to hold this for the next 30 minutes, buddy, how are you going to feel? A few minutes into it, you're going to be, what are you going to think? It's getting pretty heavy. It's like, and what do? You start dropping, right? You kind of start, I'm just wearing me out. I'm getting tired. It's the same thing when we confuse ownership of the bucket and we think that the bucket belongs to us, and it really does. And God says, "You're wearing yourself out over something that was never intended to wear you out. It was intended to bless you, and you're worrying over something. I created you to worry and not work. I created you to work and not worry while you work." Freudian slip. No, just kidding. I created you to work and not worry. But oftentimes we work and we worry hand in hand, and we weren't created for that. And that's why it's so exhausting, because we're operating outside of God's created design for our lives. But we do it because we confuse ownership of the bucket and we think that it's ours. I know that tension well. I'm going to tell you what, I'm a bean counter by college degree when I first got my first degree, and I know exactly what it's like to count those beans and make sure, no pun intended for the farmers, this year, but I know exactly what it's like. I know what it's like to feel that worry and that stress, and you look at your bank account and you go, "Help me, Jesus, right now, please, because I don't see where it's going to come from," kind of thing. I totally get that. Totally get it. But our fears and our worries never are meant to change God's truth. And so what we do is we end up worrying that we're going to run out, and we start grieving a future that hasn't even happened yet. Somebody wise said that once before. I'm just kidding. Again, for those of you that are guests with us today, we tend to have a lot of fun around here. We grieve a future that has not even happened yet. We grieve God failing to do something that He has not failed to do, and it wears us out. All right. Well, be encouraged. because it just keeps going. All right. God's bucket. It's not mine. I'm going to skip this part, and I'm going to come back to it because I want to go down to this part, to the tub. I'm going to just call this tub. All right, so it's a tub where it collects the water. I invite us this morning to think of this tub as all the people with our families, within the church, within the world, that we interact with, that we can impact in just day-to-day living, everyday life, okay? So we might call it you can call it the tub of blessing. That's kind of weird. I won't say that again. So when you look at this tub, these are all the people that you and I, whether it be we're at work, and there's somebody that we're working with, and they need some type of help that we can help them, we can bless them. This could be children in the community who need help. This could be families in third world countries who are suffering and don't have proper nutrition to feed their kids and their families. This could be proper water, proper clothing. They can't go to school because they don't have money to afford to actually buy the clothes that they need, because a lot of them in world countries, other countries wear uniforms, and so you have to pay for that. There's a plethora of stuff, but nonetheless, regardless of what it is, whether it's in our family or it's in the church or it's in the world, the tub is all the folks that are potential of being blessed, right? So here's the thing on this. The Apostle Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11, wrote to the believers, and he said this. He said, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Paul understood that what God gave to his people was supposed to be generously given away. And that creates a rub, because we look at the bucket oftentimes and we go, but that's my bucket. If I give it away, how will I get it back? But Paul says, look, it didn't come from you. You have been richly blessed. And you go, well, look at my bank account. It don't look richly blessed. It ain't all about your bank account. But that's often where our fears and our worries go. And we think our well-being is based on the money in our bank account. It's not. Our well-being is based in the one who is Lord over all of this, and is Lord over all of this, and is also Lord over all of this. And we're coming to this, so hold on just a moment. Here's what I find, though, is a struggle, a temptation that I have had, and I've watched other people have this very similar temptation when we talk about this subject, is that they look at the tub, almost did it. Almost said blessing. I told you I wouldn't do it, but there I did it again. They look at that tub, and what happens is they begin to determine who they feel should be in the tub and who should not be in the tub of blessing. I did it again 3 times. It's going to cost me. And they what they do is they look at it and they go, okay, well, you know what? I really don't value. I don't really value what this person stands for. I don't agree with that. And I'm not going to support them because I do not agree with what they stand for and what they value in their life. And it sounds crass, but I tell you, it is true that there are folks would say, you know what, if they don't struggle, they're not going to learn that this is not appropriate way of living. That sounds so crass. But there are folks that think that way. How are they going to learn unless they struggle? The truth is, every person is created by God. Every person is created by God. Use the Latin term called imago Dei, which is the image of God. Makes sense, right? You see the connection? And the idea is that every single person is created by God. Go back to the book of Genesis, creation, right? It's created by God, created in the good image of God. Yes, humanity is marred by sin. Yeah, we get that, right? We understand. But that doesn't change the fact that every person is made in the good image of God. And if they're made in the good image of God, then they are worthy of being respected and treated with goodness. They have value whether you agree with their values or not. That will never take away the fact that they have value, and so to us, they ought to have value. Now, we have to use wisdom. Okay, so we also have to use wisdom. I'm not discounting that and saying that it doesn't have its place. It absolutely does, but here's what I find. When that struggle is happening, I sense that it's not as much a wisdom issue, it's a heart issue. It's really just a heart thing. Wisdom has its place, but people have value too. They got quiet. Now the challenge is we got to embrace both ends, okay? God's the owner of it all, and everybody has value. And so somehow I need to be connected to this end and this end. And what is my role between these two ends? That's a great question, because here it is. Here it is. We've arrived. You've been so patiently waiting. This piece in the middle is channel. You call it a conduit. You can call it, it's a mix of different materials. So we'll just go with that. It's a channel. This, you hear that saying, stay in your lane? Usually doesn't get used in a positive way, right? But anyways, our role is to stay in our lane. It's to stay between this and this. My role is to be a channel of God's blessings to people who have value because they're made in the good image of God in the world. And God says, I want to use you to help funnel what I want to give to be a blessing to the people that I have created and that are worth redeeming and being loved and receiving mercy and compassion. I want you to be my channel. I want you to be the one that is the conduit of all of that. Will you do that for me? He says, will you be that person? Well, sure. Sure, we're happy to do that. In Genesis chapter 12, God says to Abram, and we probably know better as Abraham, but he says to him, look, here's the deal, dude. He didn't say that, but he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to trust me. And you're not going to know how this is going to play out, and you do not know exactly where this is going to lead you, and you do not know exactly how this is going to, you're going to be taken care of, okay? And you don't know anything other than I just want you to go forth in faith and to go end up, and as you go, to be a blessing to the nations. I want you to go be a blessing. So that the people of the other nations around you, when you're out there and you're around them and you're interacting with them, they are going to learn about my goodness through the channel of good that comes from me to you, through you, and to them. How simple is that, right? You go out and be a blessing to the nations. And trust me that I will fill up your barns. I will fill up your vats. I will take care of you because I am the Lord of it all. I'm the creator of it all. I created it for your good, and I will provide it to you so that you will be blessed and lifted up. And yet I'm also asking you, would you help other people know that I am a good God, because they won't know and experience the goodness that I am unless you allow my goodness to come through you so they can hear it. And they can see it, and they can touch it, they can feel it, they can experience that blessing through you. And we go, oh yeah, I can be a smile, but yes, you can. But also, God gave you your finances so that you could use those finances to be a blessing to other people. And that's where the rubber meets the road, and is actually in it. And you get it, don't you? Like, that's challenging. It is. Let me tell you, I'm preaching stuff that I struggle with at times too. It is hard. And so the question for us becomes, I think, onefold two, and then what do we do about that? And so let me do that. Where does this sort of struggle originate in? Just to be honest, the struggle that we have originates in this temptation that comes from Satan for us to doubt that God is true. To doubt that even though God said he doesn't have the actual ability to follow through in that. And you go, well, that's kind of out there. But I tell you what, it's not really that far out there. Because if you go back in the book of Genesis chapter 3 and you look at when Eve ate of the fruit, right? So where does the enemy comes in there? And what is the nature of this temptation? So God said that you would actually die if you ate of this? Do you think he's really telling the truth? The whole nature of that temptation is to doubt that God is true, that God will do what he says he will do, and that what he has set for you is good. But do you really think that he can do that? Let's get really real with it. You ready for this? So do you think that if you actually tithe on your income, that God could actually still meet all your needs, if even though you felt like that puts you in maybe a tight spot? Do you really think God can do that? But are you sure? Are you? Hey, this month's pretty tight. Oh, so are you sure? And I think he does it with a smile, a wink of his eye. You really think he can do that? Interesting. Let's see how that plays out for you. And he just sits there and watches. Hashtag the struggle is real, right? Amen. So what do we do with that? I don't want to tell you something you already know is true without coming back. So what do you do with that? So if Satan is tempting you, how do you come back against that? One of the greatest things I can tell you is prayer. And I want to give us maybe a sample prayer that you could do it in your own words, but it's the thought, right? It's the idea I want to give you. Something like this. God, please shape my posture and my thinking towards my finances so I serve your will for my finances. God, shape my posture of my heart, shape my thinking, be transformed through the renewing of your mind, Romans chapter 12, right? God, do your work of grace in me, please. Please shape my heart and my posture so that both of those align with your will, the Lord of the bucket that I've been entrusted with. You've allowed to come through me. I like think of it like this. God, help me to think differently. For one, that my finances are not about me. Too many people put their identity in how much money they have in their bank account. And when we live in an affluent community, nothing against our community. I love our community. It is beautiful. But the temptation at times is when we are affluent and we are secure and safe, and everybody around it, and a lot of people around us are very much in the same boat, we tend to put our identity in the things that we have and we hold on to, and we want to keep up with the Joneses, and we forget we're supposed to be keeping up with what God wants us to do for him. And we confuse the Joneses for what God wants for our lives. It's not the same. Not even close. Doesn't mean that we have to give everything away to the poor and live on the street corner somewhere. I'm not saying that at all. I think God is a God of blessing, but I'm not going to preach a prosperity gospel because I don't think it works that way. God, help me understand that my finances are not about me. Help me to see my finances as a tool for grace to work through that, right? Go from here, through that, to be a blessing to people. Help me to be a servant of what you've already given to me. It's your property, so just help me be a servant of that and manage that well so that your will and your work happens through me with what just so happens to be right here in this. Now, it's really not a whole lot of cash at the moment. That's what happens when you have kids, but nonetheless. How is it that they just smell that in your wallet? I don't know how that happens, but they just tend to do that. We joke in our house all the time. It's like, we get money in our wallet, and it's like they smell it. They sniff it out. And it's like, I need money for this, I need money for that. And you're like, how do you do that? Supernatural skills? I don't know how they do that. But God, what I do have, I want to please honor you, and I want to love my neighbor through it. Help me remember that it's the gift you've given me to give. Jesus says, use what you have to help people who are in need. Matthew 25. From him, through us, to everybody who's in need. In one way or another, right? Absolutely. God says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse and see if there will not be... Test me in this. Only thing, right? God says, test me in this. He just... Test me. He says, test me in this and see if I will not pour open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing upon you that you will not have room enough to contain it. Which is connected back to the same promise. We said, I will provide, I'll fill up your barns. Like, I will take, I got your back, Jack. We're to put that on a sign. And we just put God. I got your back, Jack, God, you know. Because he does. This Malachi 3:10 is the verse that I quoted there. He says, I will take care of you. But you're going to have to trust me. And I know Satan says, are you sure you can really trust him? Will he do what he said he'll do? He'll do that game all day. That's his A game, right? That's where he goes. That's his MO. He goes there. And so you want to, if you're aware of that, then you pray against it. And say, all right, I know where this is coming from. God, I trust you. I'm a servant of the Lord, not of the enemy. I'm a member of the kingdom of God. Your kingdom is never in danger any moment. I don't have to worry about you running out of resources at all because you're the owner, creator, sustainer, and provider of it all. It's good. It's okay. So God, help me in this moment to be renewed in how I think and shape the posture of my heart so that both are in tune and that I'm just walking in your will for what you've already given me so that I'll use it for your glory. That's it. And then say, God, give me grace because I can't do it on my own. Absolutely. Absolutely. Help me, God, to show faithful with a little, no matter how much you've given me. And I want to close with this. One of the struggles that I have heard from folks doing ministry for 15 years, and one of the struggles that I have heard in the church is that I don't have enough. It's easier for them because they have more. That's not true. That's the enemy. That's a lie. It has nothing to do with the amount of money you have. It has nothing to do with how many resources you have in your name. It's nothing. That's not the point. If they have more than you, great. They are to show faithful with what they have for the glory of God, because it's already his anyways. Your job is not to earn more, but it's to show faithful for what God's already given you. That's the point. It's do you show faithful what he has given you and trust you with a little and he'll trust you with more. Will you show faithful? Will you by faith embrace the truth that here, it's all God's anyways, and he doesn't give it to you so that you would be puffed up and think how good you are and keep over the Joneses? No, so that you let it just flow through you and just let it become a blessing for others. Come here. Please. It's awfully demanding. A couple of you, come here. They're waiting because they had roles today, folks. They had roles. All right, here we go. So let's hold this cup over here. I always love a working illustration. It's so much fun. Come on, dude. Grab you a cup there. Grab you one there. Grab you one there. All right. So there we go. Here's the foreman. All right. I feel like you're the pastor or something. Who knows? Maybe there's a call in your life, Will. But anyhow, hey, here we go. So who of you sometimes gets thirsty? Somebody raise your hand. Come on. I know y'all do, because if you didn't have water, you'd die. All right, fine. You ready? So did you see somebody that had... Yeah, don't drink this water. Yeah, just illustration, that, okay. Right? All right, pour it in here. Coming from God, through us, stop. In, there we go. Now, pick somebody who had their hand raised and just give them a cup of water. Hold on to it. Seriously, don't drink it. Somebody put your hand up. All right, give it. There we go. God gives it to me. It comes through me, and it goes somebody. So when they're thirsty, I can help them have water to drink. What we have is not about preserving our life. It's to be used in life-giving ways. Who of you sometimes get hungry, want to eat? All right, Drew, you see somebody have their hand raised? Do it again. Pour it in there. Comes from God, comes through us. That's, yeah, if we don't give them a whole lot, they're like, well, you didn't feed me much. So pick somebody, their head. have their hand raised over there that likes to get something to eat. How many of you need, sometimes you need, you fall a little, need your car fixed and run a little tight, didn't have all that money, didn't think you ever get your car fixed. Ever run through that kind of problem before? Anybody? Come on now, come, me too. I'm telling you now. All right, pour a little, some water in here. Yeah, don't get on the electronics side. They're not going to forgive me for that one. All right, so give that to somebody. All right. How many of you have, sometimes can be sensitive. You just, hey, do me a favor. You ready?
I'm ready for what?
You're going to stay in your lane, buddy. All right. You're going to take this and you're going to pick, I want you to give this to Butch in a second, right? I just picked Butch, not for anything personal, but just to, because sometimes this is a sensitive subject. We've struggled to have money to put food on the table to feed our family before. Not that they have, but I just want to, all right? God provides. Put some water in there. God's provision. There you go. Give that to Butch. You want to do one, Will?
Yeah, I'll do one.
Yes, man. I love it. You're awesome. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to give this one to John, because this is another sensitive one sometimes. I don't want to pick anybody out, you know. I don't want to do that today. These are strong men. They're my friends, so I don't do that. How many times sometimes you're afraid to tithe because you're afraid if you do, you're not going to have what you need. You're not sure God's going to be able to get you what you need because you don't know where it's going to come from. I've been there. I know it's true. And I've been there when God met my need because I trusted Him first. If you don't trust, you miss the blessings. Here we go. If you don't trust, you miss the blessing. Salvation comes from God. And it's meant to be a blessing, not only to receive salvation and to enter into the kingdom, but to be a blessing to the world. By the new creation, new creature we become in Christ, and the new character that Christ is building in us by His Spirit, that we go out and be changers and influencers in the world by His grace, using what He's given to us. But if we don't trust in this, and we don't put our faith in the cross of Jesus Christ and the one who forgives it all, we miss out on giving the blessing. We're not saving people. That's not the point. But without Jesus, you are not made a new creation. He is the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Pour some of that money in there. Not on my shoes. That's good.
It's overflowing.
You know, that's divine right there. Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus. That is divine right there. I love it. I'll pour out so much you won't have room enough to contain it. Tell me God's not good. All right. I played that card long enough. All right. You can give that to my wife because we could always use them. I'm just kidding. I love it. You can give it to your uncle back. I'm just kidding. Not your uncle, Gooberhead. Just said that right here. Just say it. All right. Y'all can sit down. I've embarrassed you guys enough. Give him a hand. Tell him thanks for today. All right. You know, the truth be told, we had some fun talking about financial stewardship. That's what we've done today. And we're not just supposed to be a steward of our finances. We're supposed to be a steward of our faith and of our family, okay, of our character. We've been talking about the last few weeks. And so it was a great fitting today. To have Zach and Danielle, would you guys come up right now at this time? They wanted to dedicate Connor, their new son, and so I invite them to come on up here today. And well, I promise you, you will not forget this day. This has been a roller coaster of a ride this morning. It's been fun. It's been good. When we dedicate our children to the Lord, it's always fitting that we start with Scripture, because we're dedicating them to to live by the truth of God's word and to go out and to serve God and his kingdom in the world. And so we begin with Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. And so Zach and Danielle, I share these words with you guys today. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. And in your guys' case, when you're playing baseball, when you're out. All right, there we go. All right. I know. Talk your language, Tiger. This is the commandment that we, the commandment of God, that we should truly diligently raise our children in the Christian faith. And in obedience to this command, Zach and Danielle bring Connor this morning, and they bring Kason along with them. And right, all right. When we think of dedicating our children, the precedent for this goes all the way back into Scripture. We think of, there's multiple ones, but we can think of Samuel being dedicated by Hannah in 1 Samuel. We think of Jesus by Joseph and Mary. Paul even reminded Timothy that from a child, how he had known the Scriptures and known God. And so thanks to his family raising, mother, grandmother, in that particular instance. Jesus, when he was preaching and teaching, he considered the little ones to be infinitely precious and said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these," Mark 10:14. So when we think of baby dedication, guys, it's really, the purpose of what we're doing and the intent is really to be found in the parents, right? So you're teaching them what God has already taught to us. So bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord by dedicating yourselves as well as your children to God. And so that's what we want to do. So if you guys wouldn't mind just sort of facing kind of me here. When I share these questions with you, if you agree, would you please answer, "We do." If you intend to present this child, Connor Thomas Eshbaugh, to the Lord and to pledge yourselves to bring him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, please answer, "We do." Do you come professing Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your lives?
We do.
Excellent. Do you recognize this child as the gift of God and give heartfelt thanks for God's blessing?
We do.
Awesome. Do you come to dedicate yourselves to biblical instruction, discipline, and love of this child and Kason as you raise them in the light of Christ?
We do.
Fantastic. And do you come to dedicate Connor Thomas Eshbaugh into the ultimate control and will of God through the Lord Jesus Christ?
We do.
Church, do you agree to support these parents by your example and through acts of service, sacrifice when needed, and community? And do you agree to reinforce the biblical instruction, discipline, and love of Connor, as well as Kason, under the supreme rule of the Lord Jesus Christ? And if you do, would you please signify by standing at this time? Look who's standing beside you. You're not alone. We're in this thing together, and this is why we do this. We're on the journey together. That God would pour through us to be a blessing to each other and the world all that he has given to us for his glory. May we help each other raise our children under that truth. I give you a candle today. Remain standing, please. I give you a candle today. I'm actually going to give you two. I give this to you today, and I say, may this candle be an ever-present reminder of the light of God's holy love, and may it always burn brightly in your home throughout the years ahead. So I give you this. I have you to hold on to this one. I'm not going to let you get. Yeah, okay, are they? Very much. All right. There we go. One for each of the boys. All right. Too funny. I'd like to this time ask the Eshbaugh's family that would like to join them around them for prayer and invite our elders to please come forward at this time as well and to gather around this family. We want to gather around and pray for them this morning. As part of the body, let us pray. Connor, I anoint you today in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit as an ordained minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and along with the family of God and family and friends today, we ask that you would anoint this child and anoint this family as they dedicate themselves to the raising of these boys to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, that you would give them the grace, the strength, you give them the wisdom, help them to know what to do and when to do it and what to say and how to say it. Help them be the best parents that they can be, not of their own strength, but by the power of your grace. Anoint them by your Spirit so that they will be channels of grace and blessing into the lives of these boys. Father, they lift them both to you, and we join them in faith and say we support their decision. We support their choice to enter into this covenant with you, to dedicate their children. And we ask that you would use us all for the glory of your name, through the extension of your kingdom. May people be glorified through this. May people be lifted up and God be glorified through this family. We look forward to the stories of lives that will be impacted by Connor's faith and by Kaysen's faith and the faith of this family. We ask this blessing today in the name of our God, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.